Yasodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivakachari Sautarita Shishi Madhi Swine Grace A.C. Bhaktivananta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananakodi Vaishnava Vinni Ki Jai Namachari Srila Haridasa Thakur Ki Jai Premsa Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadara Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopi Nasham Mukunda Radha Kuni Gidi Govardhani Ki Jai Vrindavandami Ki Jai Navadvip Gami Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Gaura Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glory to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter with seven, text number 8. Vida sapat new datya sapat new dita pratibir Anti Radio Balo P San Nupakatas Tapase Vanani Tasma Adat Druva Gatim Grinate Prasano Divya Stuvani Sivanti Munayo Yad Uparya Dashat Vidasapat Nyudita Patri Bir Anti Rajyo. Balo pisanu pakatas pasatse vanani. Tasma adat druvagatim grinate prasano. Divyastuvanti munayo yad upar yadasyat. Someone could chant. Okay, Matijis. Word for word. Vidaha pinch by sapatni a co-wife. Udita uttered by patribihi by sharp words. Anti just before. Ragyoho of the king. Balaha, a boy. Api, although. San, being so. Upagataha, took to. Tapase, severe penances. Vanani, in a great forest. Tasmai, therefore. Adat, gave as a reward. Dhruvagatim, a path to the Dhruva planet. Rinate, on being prayed for. Prasannaha, being satisfied. Divyaha, denizens of higher planets. Stuvanti, do pray. Manayaha, great sages. Yat, thereupon. Upari, up. Udasat, down. Translation. Being insulted by the sharp words spoken by the co-wife of the king, even in his presence, Prince Dhruva, though only a boy, took to severe penances in the forest. And the Lord, being satisfied by his prayer, awarded him the Dhruva planet, which is worshipped by great sages, both upward and downward. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When he was only 5 years old, Prince Dhruva, a great devotee and the son of Maharaj Uttanapada, was sitting on the lap of his father. His stepmother did not like the king's patting her stepson, so she dragged him out, saying that he could not claim to sit on the lap of the king, because he was not born out of her womb. The little boy felt insulted by this act of his stepmother. Nor did his father make any protest, for he was too attached to his second wife. After this incident, Prince Dhruva went to his own mother and complained. His real mother also could not take any step against this insulting behavior, and so she wept. The boy inquired from his mother how he could sit on the royal throne of his father, and the poor queen replied that only the Lord could help him. The boy inquired where the Lord could be seen, And the queen replied that it is said that the Lord is sometimes seen by the great sages in the dense forest. The child prince decided to go into the forest to perform severe penances in order to achieve his objective. Prince Dhruva performed a stringent type of penance under the instruction of his spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni, who was specifically deputed for this purpose by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prince Dhruva was initiated by Narada into chanting the hymn composed of 18 letters, namely Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and the Lord and Lord Vasudeva incarnated himself as Prishnigarbha, the personality of Godhead, with four hands, and awarded the prince a specific planet above the seven stars. Prince Dhruva, after achieving success in his undertakings, saw the Lord face to face, and he was satisfied that all his needs were fulfilled. The planet awarded to Prince Dhruva Maharaj is a fixed Vaikuntha planet installed in the material atmosphere by the will of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. This planet, although within the material world, will not be annihilated at the time of devastation, but will remain fixed in its place. And because it is a Vaikuntha planet, never to be annihilated, it is worshipped even by the denizens of the seven stars situated below the Dhruva planet, as well as by the planets which are even above the Dhruva planet. Maharshi Bhrigu's planet is situated above the Dhruva planet. So the Lord incarnated himself as Prishnigarbha just to satisfy a pure devotee of the Lord. And Prince Dhruva achieved this perfection simply by chanting the hymn mentioned above. And after being initiated by another pure devotee, Narada, a serious personality can thus achieve the highest perfection of meeting the Lord and attain his objective simply by being guided by a pure devotee who automatically approaches by dint of one's sincere, serious determination to meet the Lord by all means. The description of Prince Dhruva's activities can be read in detail in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Basaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvase Sasunyavari Praschatya Deshatarne. So this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, as Srila Prabhupada explains here in the purport, is explained in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the chapters 8 through 12, five chapters describe the history of Dhruva Maharaj, which consists of 259 verses. So Dhruva Maharaj appeared in Satyuga because, as it is stated in his pastimes, he ruled this planet for 36,000 years. So as we know that in Satyuga, they lived for 100,000 years. So in this way, it was possible for him to rule this planet for 36,000 years. And of course, as we know, the other yugas, Treta Yuga, people live for 10,000 years. The Para Yuga, they live for 1,000 years. And in this age, at most, we live for 100 years. So as the grandson of Swayambhuva Manu, he appeared in the beginning of the day of Brahma. So there are 14 Manus, and Swayambhuva Manu is the first Manu in Lord Brahma's day. And right now we're in the seventh Manu. So one can understand from this that this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj took place at least around 2 billion years ago.
That's taking consideration if this was Lord Brahma's day. If it wasn't this day of Brahma, it was the previous day of Brahma, it could be actually even trillions of years, depending upon which day is being described here. So the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam are like that. It's not necessarily they're not taken as ordinary history in that they're in chronological order. Sometimes they're taken from even different creations, different Brahmas, just like Narada Muni himself, who's in this pastime with Dhruva Maharaj. He appeared in a former creation of the universe. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is delineated. So Dhruva Maharaj was a Sakama devotee. That means he had desires, material desires. So pure devotee, one who has no material desires, is called an Akama devotee. But as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, whether one is full of all material desires or desires impersonal Brahman or is free from all desires, one should worship Krishna. And by worshiping Krishna, one becomes purified. It doesn't matter if one's objective is Krishna, then ultimately it's stated that Krishna will satisfy one's material desires in such a way that one will become an Akama devotee. So this was Dhruva Maharaj's situation. He wanted a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, greater than Lord Brahma. So in this way, he was giving the Dhruva Loka planet. So he was a Sakama devotee, but as stated in the description of Dhruva Maharaj, by coming in contact with the Supreme Personality of God, he became a pure devotee of the Lord. So there are different types of people that approach Krishna. Four types of people: those who are distressed. An example of somebody who's in distress who approaches Krishna is Gajendra. He was in a very distressed condition. He approached Krishna. And those who are inquisitive, and the example is given of Shanaka and the sages, they were inquisitive. And those who are searching after the absolute truth, the example is given of Sukadeva Goswami. And Dhruva Maharaj is somebody who's in need of money or material possessions. So he's a devotee in that way. But anybody who approaches Krishna in any of these ways, he's considered pious because he is searching for Krishna. So as Narada Muni, or as Dhruva Maharaj, he went into the forest as his mother advised him to, that go if you want to find God, they say he's in the forest. So he went into the forest. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in one lecture, he was very anxious, and he was asking the tiger, "Are you God?" And he was asking the elephant, "Are you God?" So Krishna could see that he was very anxious. So according to our degree of anxiety to understand the absolute truth, to understand God, then Krishna, who is within our heart, will send us a similar quality of spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada explains like this, and therefore he told Narada to go and see Narada to go see Dhruva Maharaj. So in this way, Krishna sent Narada Muni to go to Dhruva Maharaj, and Narada Muni was testing him, see if he was actually serious about self-realization. And Dhruva Maharaj, he wouldn't take no for an answer, and he wanted to perform austerity, or he wanted to get a planet greater than his grandfather. And so Narada Muni told him that you perform austerities and you chant this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and this way you attain perfection. So he did that. He went to Vrindavan. Dhruva Maharaj went to Vrindavan to Madhavan, there's 12 forests in Vrindavan, and one of those forests is Madhavan on the western bank of the Yamuna. And at a place called Dhruvaghat, there are nice trees there with nice flowers and fruits. And there's an elevated spot in that place where Dhruva Maharaj performed his austerities. So in his various austerities, and in the first month, he would eat only berries and fruits for every 3 days. And the second month, for every 6 days, he would eat dry leaves and grass. And then the next month, he would take water every 12 days. And then the next month, he would breathe, the third month, water every 9 days, and the next month is he would breathe air every 12 days. And then the next month after that, he would stand on one leg. And this way, he perfected his austerities so much so that the whole universe had a hard time even breathing. And the demigods went to Lord Vishnu and they complained, and he said, it is because, Lord Vishnu says, because of Dhruva Maharaj's penances, don't worry, I'll go see him. So in this way, the Lord went to see Dhruva Maharaj, and he touched Dhruva Maharaj on the forehead with his conch shell. And so in this way, Dhruva Maharaj got a spiritual body. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned that connection. This is the advantage of worshiping the deity, that by worshiping the deity, one gets the opportunity to touch the deity. And by touching the deity, one gets a spiritual body, and one goes back to home, back to Godhead. So this is the advantage of Krishna consciousness. By coming in contact with Krishna, by touching the deity, by hearing and chanting about Krishna, in these various ways, one gets a spiritual body, and one goes back to home, back to Godhead. So in this way, Dhruva Maharaj, Krishna touched his forehead, he became purified, and then he began to offer various prayers to the Lord, which are, there's many prayers mentioned in the fourth canto. Like one of the prayers, Dhruva Maharaj mentions that how the transcendental bliss derived from meditation upon your lotus feet is beyond the happiness, the transcendental pleasure derived from a Brahman realization, or the happiness that that the karmis get by their sense gratification, or by going to the heavenly planets, which is cut off by the separating sword of time. So nothing could compare to devotional service. And he also mentions another prayer that's not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but Srila Prabhupada quotes it in the Nectar Devotion from the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. Prahlad Maharaj mentions one prayer, the essence of which is stated that I was searching for broken pieces of glass, but I found the most valuable jewel, you. So Krishna is so great, we may want so many things in this material world, but actually, when we attain Krishna, everything else is simply nothing. One example is given. It's just like if you go to a king, and the king asks you, whatever you want, I'll give you. And if the person asks the king, my dear king, give me a handful of ashes. So that's a foolish request. Why should you ask? The king could give you half of his kingdom, and you're simply asking for a handful of ashes. So devotional service is so valuable, so great. In this way, Dhruva Maharaj could understand how he was simply childish. So sometimes a child does crazy things, like the examples given, a child simply, he's outside eating some dirty stuff or eating some dirt, and his parents take that dirt away and give him some nice sweetmeats like sandesh. So in this way, this is our situation. We're just simply eating dirty things in this material world. But if we approach Krishna, Krishna will give us the most valuable thing. So in these pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, one of the pastimes that are mentioned is his fighting with the Yaksha soldiers, the demon Yaksha soldiers. Because one of his brother, Dhruva Maharaj's brother, was killed by one of the Yakshas. So Dhruva Maharaj started killing so many Yakshas because of that. And the Yakshas, they know this. They have mystic power, demoniac mystic power, that they could try to influence the opposing army or the opposing their opponent. And so in this way, they put before Dhruva Maharaj a great illusion of gigantic serpents vomiting forth fire, mad elephants, lions and tigers before Dhruva Maharaj, that storms of hail and trunks of bodies and blood, pus, mucus, stool, urine falling from the sky, and the whole sea, as if the time of the dissolution of the universe or the world came before Dhruva Maharaj. So in this way, Dhruva Maharaj was in this situation, and the sages told him that that may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who relieves the distresses of his devotees, kill your threatening enemies. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord himself. Therefore, simply by hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, many men have become fully protected from fierce death without difficulty. Thus, a devotee is saved. So in this way, being enlivened, being encouraged by the sages, he took up his bow and fixed an arrow upon it, which was made by Lord Narayan himself. And at that time, so many arrows came out of that one arrow that had golden shafts and had the feathers of the wings of swans and flew into the enemy combatants. In this way, he was killing so many of the Yaksha soldiers. But then his grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, came before him and told him that actually you should control your anger. There's only one soldier. Only one soldier killed your brother. These other Yaksha soldiers aren't at fault. So in this way, he listened to his grandfather. He stopped this, and then later on, Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, came, and he was very happy with Dhruva Maharaj because he's the leader of the Yakshas. And he asked him what he wanted. So being the treasurer of the demigods, Kuvera could offer him so much wealth. But Dhruva Maharaj told Kuvera that simply give me the benediction that I will always remember Krishna. So this is the sign of a pure devotee. He doesn't want any material thing. He has no material desire. He simply wants to please Krishna. So this is the beginning of bhakti. Bhakti means, or bhakti begins when one is free from all material desires. So there's that. That's bhakti. Bhakti means desire without attraction. So we simply want things for Krishna, for Krishna's benefit, not for our benefit. Just like, if we get a good car, or like one may want a nice car, so but if one uses that car for preaching Krishna consciousness, then that desire becomes purified. So, and if one wants, but if one wants a nice apartment simply for one's sense gratification, then that's material desire. That's diseased desire. But if one wants a nice place for Krishna, a nice temple for Krishna, then that is purified desire. So a devotee wants to, he wants to simply desire what Krishna wants. In this way, he is happy. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was a great king, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. He had all godly qualities. He was respectful to the devotees of the Lord. He was kind to the innocent. And he protected religious principles. In this way, he was like a father to the citizens. So this is how the government should be. They should protect the citizens. But instead of protecting the citizens, they, as described in the Krishna book, they simply harass the citizens. They're not being protected, and their so-called protection is just like the protection of somebody who protects animals who will be sent to the slaughterhouse. So this is their so-called protection. And it's stated that the demons, the so-called democracy, they are simply sending animals to the slaughterhouse, and simply some less than animal men are casting votes for a less than animal man. So in this way, nobody's happy. This isn't Krishna's system. Krishna's system is Varnashrama. He mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita. People should be trained according to quality and work. And this way, one will get somebody who's qualified to protect the citizens, to lead the people. But if one simply, if anybody could just win by votes, then they'll get the power and they'll misuse the power, and then people will suffer. So this is a situation in the society. People aren't protected. People riot. They set people's property on fire. And the government, in so many cases, doesn't do anything. So this is not Varnashrama. This is simply a society of rogues and rascals. So So it's stated here that, it's stated in the purport that Dhruva Maharaj is giving the pole star for his planet. So this pole star, Srila Prabhupada mentions also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that this pole star is, well, it's a north star we could see in the sky. It's actually a Vaikuntha planet. You could see it as the north star, the pole star. And on this Dhruvaloka planet, the pole star, there's the ocean of milk. And on this, in the ocean of milk, there's a planet called Swetadweet. So in this way, this is where Lord Vishnu resides. And as we know, that sometimes the demigods go there to pray on the shore of the ocean of milk to request Lord Vishnu to help them in their duties of governing the universe. So this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj is very auspicious. It's recommended that one hears about Dhruva Maharaj in the morning and evening. And specifically, it's mentioned that on special days, such as the day after Ekadasi or Devadasi, on the full moon or the new moon, or on Sunday, it's especially recommended to hear about Dhruva Maharaj. And by this, one acquires so many benefits, reputation, wealth. One increases the duration of his life. So simply by Krishna's desire, one can increase the duration of his life. Of course, we know that one has so many breaths and so many heartbeats, and after that is finished, then one has to leave this world. But Srila Prabhupada also explains that Krishna could change one's destiny. So in this way, simply by hearing about Dhruva Maharaj, one can increase the duration of his life. So we could stop there. Are there any questions on any of these points? Yes, not the kirtan, or was it?
Hare Krishna. I have two questions, if that's okay. One of them is in the fourth canto where it describes the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. It describes how Dhruva Maharaj went to Vaikuntha in the self-same body. So that concept, it doesn't make sense to me. I can't grasp it with my material understanding or my mind. How is that possible?
We went to the self-same... Well, it's...
Or why is that even necessary?
Why? It's not a... Anyway, it stated like that. Anyway, this ultimately... It's like even the body is like the spiritual master, for example. That's also explained is the body of the spiritual master is also spiritual because he's engaging totally in Krishna consciousness, his service. So in that way also we can understand that the body is spiritual. But in particular circumstances, this is a situation. You know, why it is, I can't say. You know, we just have to understand we have to accept what's said in the scripture. Sometimes later on, these things may be revealed to us, or they may become, we may read something else in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of his own life, that when he was in India, well, before he came to America, he was in the Gaudiya Math, and there was a snake in his room or in the bathroom someplace there, and his spiritual master told his disciples to go kill the snake. Well, there was a snake in the Gaudiya Math, and so they killed the snake, and Prabhupada said, I didn't understand why, you know, that he told them to kill the snake. But Prabhupada said later on, when I read 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that a saintly person is pleased when a snake or scorpion is killed, then he understood. So sometimes these things aren't always understood immediately, but they may be revealed later on. But I can't say offhand why, you know, sometimes it's stated like that. They get a spiritual body like that, or sometimes they get a spiritual body afterwards like that. Let's get Arjita first, and then we'll...
In your lecture, you said that Lord Vishnu, Prishna Garba, touched Dhruva with his conscience, and his body became a spiritual body. You said that.
Yeah, I said that.
I don't remember reading that, but you said that. So if that's a fact.
Yeah, that's in, I read that. It's connection. I think it was in the 8th canto. I was reading that.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just saying if it's a fact, then that answers his question. He already had a spiritual body. So it's not like he went back to Godhead in a material body. You said that he was touched by the conch shell and he got a spiritual body. So he already had a spiritual body. So there's no question of, you know, his question is already answered.
Yeah, he got a spiritual body. Anyway, it was connection with Gajendra, because Prabhupada mentions how Gajendra, when Krishna touched his body, or when Vishnu touched his body, he got his spiritual body. And it's mentioned in that same purport, Prabhupada mentions that Dhruva Maharaj, when he was touched by Vishnu, he got his spiritual body. So that's that. I think it's the 8th canto. I got it written down in my notebook. So, okay. And the other question was, you had a second question?
Yeah. Well, does anybody else have a question first? No? Okay. So I'll ask the other one. But you were saying how, just by reading the pastimes of Dhruva, it describes how there's so many benefits. And then you described how one will gain wealth and reputation. I was just wondering, how are those things benefits? Those very things that Dhruva Maharaj wanted to attain at first, but then he rejected, he said, are broken pieces or glass, are somehow benedictions by reading the pastime.
So, yeah, after he got the benediction of seeing Krishna or Vishnu, he didn't care for those things. So anyway, so we can understand also that these things are there, not necessarily that those who are reading those pastimes are pure devotees of the Lord. So they may read those, and they may, you know, so there's certain things. Sukkama devotees will read that pastime and think that, oh, this is nice, I'll get these things. But the main thing is that one becomes Krishna conscious. And also, these things, of course, if a devotee attains these things, he doesn't want them for his own sense gratification. So if a devotee gets wealth, then he wants to give it to Krishna. So that's, you know, it's, so actually a devotee should, if he's reading these pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, he should think, well, if I get all this money, that's okay, but let me build a big Krishna, a temple for Krishna. He shouldn't think that, I'm going to read this pastime, and I'll get a lot of money for my sense gratification. Or I'll get a lot of reputation so people will praise me and I'll think I'm so great. No. You know. Or let me get a long duration of life because I want to keep enjoying my sense gratification. No, everything is for Krishna. So that's the main thing. Everything's for Krishna. So, okay. So we can stop there. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga.
Because I think that verse also actually also is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is not?
Maybe in the purport, but not in the verse itself.
Oh, I see.
I did an actual check of the, one of the words, you know, in the Veda base, you put that word that's in that book by broken piece of glass, and I searched the Sanskrit word, and I didn't find it.
Oh, I see.
It was in the fourth canon, so it wasn't in there.
Okay.
So you will find there's also a similar verse mentioned about Gajendra's prayers. He offers a prayer that's mentioned, I think, in the second canon. It's not in the eighth canon.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay.